T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Chris Kofforth and Randy McMichael here on the workday, trying to connect with Dave Baker from the SEC Network and also the Kentucky Sports Network. We'll talk a little bit about the SEC basketball tournament going on up in Nashville. The action gets underway here in actually just a few seconds from right now. Florida and LSU in the first game today. And if you're just joining us, we do know that Javonte Smart from LSU will be back on the floor today. He was the kid that has been suspended in this whole wiretap scandal at LSU.
Still don't see why he's suspended. Like, don't get it. Don't get it. We never will get it. Why you got to punish your kid? I mean, you know.
Don't you think we're headed for that? We're headed for some radical changes to the NCAA and what's permissible and what's not?
No, because they want to keep these young people down, man. They want to keep them down. They want to give them no loot. They want to keep using them for that cheap labor that they are and get done. That's what they want to do because it's easy. Because of the sports leagues, the way they are, if you want to go to the NFL, you got to go to college, right? For the most part, right?
The way it's set up,
you got to go.
You got no choice.
Yeah, and until the NBA gets off their butt and allow these kids to go straight from high school, I mean, I know these kids, they want to go make money, and you talking about going overseas and all that, but nobody don't want to do all that. Just go to college 1 year, get used up for that 1 year, let them make that money off your back, then go pro. So I don't think there'll be no changes. They're not going to let these young men get – I've always thought they should pay players. But my thing is – what leverage do the players or whoever coming into the college, what leverage do they have? Especially in the sport I play when you have to, you know.
Yeah. At what age, you know, the NBA always talks about the age limit.
Right.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
At what age are you physically ready to go in the NFL? You can't go.
It's just so different.
You can't go at 18, though, can you?
No, I don't think so. I don't think so. But, I mean, because – your body's not physically developed yet. And you're talking about grown men. That was when I tell people the first thing I learned when I went to my first professional locker room is these grown men, they ain't like me. And what I mean by that is they got different things on their mind other than ball. They got kids in private school. They got to pay mortgages and all that. All I got is, you know, just send some cash back to the mama. You know,
exactly.
That's about it.
I mean,
send some money back home to mama. Now, you know, as I transformed my career and I got older and I was the one with the kids and the wife in the house, but there are so many mistakes. And this is the one thing that worries me about letting kids go from high school to college in the NBA is that they make this judgment and then they make a mistake, Chris. And then all of a sudden, after their second year in the league, they done bounced on to 3 or 4 teams. You know, and I can't, and I know one day we'll get to interview Travis Schlenk, the GM for the Hawks. I'm curious, why don't these kids develop? You know what I'm saying? What is it about the game that is it more mental or is it more physical that these young men that you take number 3 overall out of high school and that in his 30s he's been on 5 teams?
Right.
I've always been curious about that. But no, that grown man body and grown man strength, it's real. It's real.
It's real. It's real. Interesting times in college athletics with everything that is going on between the whole scholarship scandal involving Aunt Becky.
You see that? They got Aunt Becky hemmed up, man.
Did you see my wife is distraught over the fact she's been let go by Hallmark.
I was about to say that. Yeah, Hallmark then got rid of her.
She was all tore up.
Man, why did they do that to Aunt Becky, man? Did she do something that all? They talking about her bail was a mil? A meal for that? Ain't Becky.
Wow.
you know, what was the boy's name? Nikki and Alex. They mama. they mama got locked up.
The best part is they pulled an old Full House episode that kind of revolved around that.
Yeah.
So no, that was even
no, they
funny.
Did.
Yeah, they
oh,
did.
Oh yeah, it was Uncle Jesse that that told a fib at the kids' daycare.
Oh yeah,
I guess to try
episode.
To get them in the daycare or whatever it was. And then of course she comes in being the you know the self-righteous one to.
I love my babies. But I'm not going to put myself at risk to go to jail for them. Unless it's somebody done something to them, then I'm going to physically harm you, and then I'm going to go to jail for that. But I ain't, you know, because if, like I said, if I know my boy or my child, I say my child, can't get into Harvard, I ain't going to go bribe Harvard to put him in. Because I look like a dummy because you're going to be wasting my bribe because you're going to be up there messing up.
The community college doors
you know
are still open.
I got to find, but damn, yeah, they done locked up Aunt Becky, and then they gave her $1 million on top of that. She got to get out. And then her daughter was messing around anyways, wasn't she? But I'd be in jail for child abuse or something.
The stories that have come out, was it her kid or was it what was the other William H. Macy's wife? Felicity Huffman, is that her name? Yeah. You know, it was one of them. Their kid was actually the face had been photoshopped over the face of a national champion pole vaulter.
Get out.
In a picture, yeah.
Is that how she got caught?
That I'm not sure about, but I saw the picture.
Come on, man.
It's bad when I'm pulling show topics off ET.
Yeah, I mean,
that's
hey,
where we are
it is
now.
It is. I mean, but still, man, they have to lock it back up. And then Hallmark, like, you kick rocks. I don't want to be.
They didn't wait around either. Mean, they pulled the trigger quick.
Like, people ain't going to watch Hallmark because ain't Becky on there. But come on, man. She wasn't gonna hurt Hallmark's, you know, their stock or nothing. They could have let that lady eat, man.
I laugh at that. I mean, my wife, she loves that stuff, but I laugh at those movies because it's like the same five
it's the same
people.
Same five people.
It's the same. It's Lacey
her,
Chabert,
Tori Spelling, and then back in the day it was what's my girl DJ from Full House.
Yep.
They were always rotating in the movies, and they were all for some reason messing with some crazy dude. They were trying to get away from, like, all the movies were wrong.
Now, that's
that
a
plot.
Lifetime movie.
Is that Lifetime?
You're on the Lifetime movies. Lifetime movies.
Okay.
Lifetime movies, the dude is always crazy.
Yeah, because I know I ain't the only one speaking on this. I know everybody done spent that Sunday on that couch on a rainy day watching them Lifetime movies, all right? Don't be trying. Now, don't act like you didn't when you did.
Now, the Hallmark movie is always where the woman finds the true love, and you know what's going to happen. It's so predictable. You know, the guy is he's in love with somebody else, and then this sweet, charming lead in the movie, she finds a way to win this guy over. It's always the same.
And don't
it's
forget that the girl he's in love with is mean as can be, so he can't.
Oh, yeah.
This great guy can't be with this horrible woman.
Exactly.
He's got to be with this other girl who
exactly.
secretly cares.
Craig, I tell my wife, Hallmark movies, it's like it's Disney movies for women. That's basically, it's Disney movies for grown-up women. That's what it is.
I ain't sitting there watching it all day. No more. Nah, those are the good days when you only had one TV.
You got your own place. You got your own TV in your own spot
that's
now.
That's when you had one TV. You'd be sitting there all day with mama. Another one? Because you know they go back to back all day now.
Oh, and Christmas movies in July.
Yeah, that's even worse.
Christmas movies in July.
That's even worse.
That's horrid. That's horrible. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Chris Goforth, Randy McMichael with you today. Still trying to catch up with Dave Baker, the SEC Network, and the Kentucky Sports Network. Randy, it's almost bracket time. Selection Sunday, by the way, is Sunday.
Yes.
I've got a whole list of things. I got a whole list of rules that I have to do when I go to fill out my bracket.
Okay.
What do you do? Does Randy have rules when it comes to filling out his bracket?
I told you earlier, my one rule is that I got to find a way to get Michigan State in the Final Four.
Right.
I mean, because I'm a big Tom Izzo fan, and Deshaun again. Every time I say Michigan State, Deshaun stands up out there. Our resident Sparty. But I try not to pick too many upsets. You know what I'm saying?
That's the key. That's where you get yourself in trouble.
That's where you get yourself in trouble when you're trying to pick all these upsets and trying to be hot takey with it. Or, you know, I try to stay away from that. The one that I usually get right is a 12-5. I'll usually get one right. Rather than that, I usually do my brackets in pencil.
Are you the guy that goes back in and changes them and says, "Oh, look, I got the whole first round right"?
Yeah, I kind of do.
I had the Sweet 16 right.
I kind of do a lot in pencil. But once, you know, once I'm done with my first round and I probably stunk it up, I just leave it alone. I don't even worry about who I had in the final four. I usually rip them up. Or if I do like the ones online, I'll always forget my password so I can never put another one in. So, but, you know, you were talking, don't we? We got like a contest here, right? $1,000 contest,
do.
Right?
$1,000. Go to the contest page at 929thegame.com.
Is that like, does that exempt, you know, employees?
I'm sure, but.
I might try and get on that. I'll tell my wife to fill it
that's
out.
That's it.
Tell my wife to fill it out. But what's your rules?
Well, the first one is all one seeds, you automatically move them through to the Sweet 16.
Now, what happened last year then?
Okay, well, but how often
exactly.
has that happened?
Okay, go ahead. Okay.
Here's what you have to do when you fill out a bracket, in my opinion. I think you have to go, you can't buck the trends. You can't pick 16s to beat ones because that typically doesn't happen.
That's what I say. That's kind of hot takey, right?
Yeah.
It's kind of like,
yeah.
Oh, man.
You take your ones, you move them all the way through to the Sweet 16.
Right.
And historically speaking, the 8-9 games are about 50-50.
That is true.
So ask yourself, who are the two nines that advance?
Right.
And then, so you take those two nines and you take the two eights. You mentioned the 12-5 matchup. That is almost always
at least one.
You got to find the 12 that gets the win and advance.
Right.
And those are my rules when it comes. That's where I want to start when I go to put this thing together. You don't want to try to be too cutesy with it because where you get in trouble is trying to pick too many of those upsets.
Yeah, and that's what I'm saying. Like some people, and a majority of the time is when the people that do that really don't care, really ain't really studying the bracket. And me, I don't really study the bracket that hard like that, you know, because it's kind of like me playing a lotto. I mean, it's always going to be a chance. Sometimes I might go get a scratch off, or I might not, but. You know, when I look at these brackets, I don't understand the people that do multiple brackets.
You're a one bracket guy.
I'm a one bracket guy.
Ride or die.
I just don't get the people that got like 10 different brackets. Like, I mean, I get it if you're in it for money or something, but if you're just doing it for fun, why do you have all these damn brackets? Because I mean, that's just like cheating. Your bracket.
Have you ever won? You ever won a bracket?
Heck no.
Craig.
Yeah, Maryland year. When they won it all, it was the only time I ever won it.
Abe?
I have won, I would say, 3 or 4.
Look at you.
Now, hold on. When you say bracket, you talking about you complete everything, or are you talking about the Final Four champion?
Like, I won the bracket contest that year.
You got everyone right?
Well, no.
Oh.
I had the most right.
The most right, okay.
Like, so I'm a Gator fan, so the first year that Florida won, I won it all.
Okay.
Not a lot of people had Florida. The second year that Florida won, I won it all. But that was kind of lucky because a lot of people had Florida. I just happened to do well the rest of the way. It just didn't kill me. Everyone knew Ohio State was going all the way with Odin that year and Conley. So a couple years before that, though, actually, it was the Luke Censure-led Georgia Tech team. And I had to, not only did I have them losing to UConn in the championship game, I missed the final score by 2 points. I actually got the number right, but I had a 55-45 thing. It was 54-45 where I switched one number. But so I won that one, and then I've won a couple recently. But I sometimes do a couple different bracket leagues, so I have a little more opportunity than just one a year.
Now tell me this: when you're doing the different bracket leagues, do you use the same bracket for both leagues?
Not necessarily, as CCV and I were talking here in studio. Certain leagues have scoring settings where, like, you get extra points for picking an upset.
Uh-huh.
So are you a little braver?
So you might get a little, puff out your chest and take a 13 seed that you normally wouldn't take to win a second game, mm-hmm. something like that. So there is some advantage to being a little gutsy with the picks, but obviously – if those teams don't win, they come back to bite you.
The one time I did win, I've never won the actual bracket contest, but one time, and this was back in the early, mid-90s, it was one of the UConn national championships. We did the deal where it was $10, all at that time, 64 teams. All 64 teams went in a hat. You pay your $10, and you got to reach in the hat and pull out one.
Mm-hmm.
and I pulled out UConn.
Oh, okay. I've done that before. Another thing. Now, when you're talking about this whole bracket, when you're talking about getting your bracket, you got to get the play-in game too, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, so I'm saying you got to get that play-in game, right? See, some people don't realize that when you're talking about a perfect bracket, that also includes that one play-in game that they have, right?
Well, yeah, some of them used to be where the play-in game made you a 16 seed. So everybody was already picking the one anyway, but now it's like a 12-5 game sometimes. Yep. Okay, so you may pick them and they didn't even make the play-in game. So it really depends on how your bracket's
set up. Well, Deshaun's standing up shaking his head, so I guess I must be wrong with it. But I make one bracket, and then if it's wrong, even though I do it in pencil, I try not to cheat too much.
Well, see, mine's, I do the same bracket. I'm in three or four different leagues. Like I said, I'll play one, like here for CBS. We usually do one here for the radio station.
Then we did one here before, didn't we?
You do one every year for here, and then we have listeners go up against us, and I have some of my friends back home. So I'll have the same bracket, but like Abe said, you know, a 12 versus 5, if you pick the 12, you get 8 extra points. So you may, like I said, pick a 12 seed to win because that may be the deal breaker when it comes down to the end that separates you from somebody else.
Also, you got to know who else is in your bracket league and who they might be picking, because if you're in, say, a Big Ten heavy league and you got a lot of people that might take Michigan State to the Final Four, you may shy away.
Right.
So that's why another reason I may have different brackets. If I'm in a league with a lot of Kentucky fans, they're all going to take Kentucky.
Right.
Chances are if I win it all with Kentucky, it's not highly likely. So I may bounce Kentucky out early, hope they all have them, and pick up points there.
I got Ty was saying that he looks at it for star power, not necessarily the teams, but for the players like Murray State with Morant. So usually if you got one star player and they get on that roll, and to me it seems like he could be one of those guys that can carry your team for round and round and round. Appreciate the tweet, Ty.
Dave Baker, the SEC Network and Kentucky Sports Network, he joins us next. We'll talk a little bit about what's going on in Nashville with the SEC Tournament. LSU leading Florida right now 13-5. Dave Baker joins us next. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Chris Goforth, Randy McMichael, glad to be hanging out with you. This segment brought to you by Prize Picks. It's really daily fantasy simplified. Just use the promo code 929 at MyPrizePicks.com. Set out on the WaitForIt.com hotline. Welcome in Dave Baker, the SEC Network, also the Kentucky Sports Network. Buzz has been around the SEC for a long time. Dave, how many SEC tournaments is this for you now?
I've been really blessed. I don't know the exact number of tournaments, but I guess I started working at KYT in Lexington, covering the Cats in 82. So a couple of weeks, it'll be my 38th anniversary there.
Sweet.
Wow. So let's start big picture view of the SEC. How many teams do you think make the tournament?
I think there's certainly 8 in right now, and there's a chance for a 9th, and that's what scares me and scares Kentucky fans tonight, because our buddy Dari Noka was texting back and forth with Joey Brackett this morning. And Joey Brackett said firmly, Alabama beats Kentucky tonight, and they're in. And so from a Kentucky standpoint, I think most everybody would have preferred to see Ole Miss win that game last night, but they couldn't hold that big lead, and especially since Alabama beat Kentucky down in Tuscaloosa in the SEC opener this year.
Hey, Dave, we were talking about that earlier, about that game specifically, about surprised that Alabama won that game, because there's been some rumors about – you know, Avery Johnson and his job status down there. But if he's able to find a way to get this win today against the Wildcats, wouldn't you say, okay, that's secured for at least one more year?
Listen, he is secure.
You think so?
He's a perfect fit there. Mm-hmm. Greg Byrne, the AD, used to live around the corner from me when he was an assistant in Lexington. And, you know, his dad was a longtime AD. He's not going to make any sort of knee-jerk reaction. And, you know, everything that happens down in Alabama, I think, is determined. It's a reaction to what happens at Auburn, and everything that happens at Auburn is a reaction to what happens in Alabama. But that first game, you know, Kentucky had played really well since they'd gotten blown out by Duke in that opener. They had a last-second overtime loss to Seton Hall. And then they came into the SEC schedule, and they were playing really well. And Alabama had an 11-point lead with about 3 minutes left, and the Cats had a shot at the end to win it. But he had a kid named Tevin Mack who transferred from Texas, who's not known as a three-point specialist, who goes 6 of 8 from outside the line. And then Dante Hall had, I think he had 10 points, 11 boards, and something like that was just too much for him to overcome on the road. And Reed Travis is supposed to be back for the Cats tonight, but we'll see if they can get it together.
Dave Baker, the SEC Network and Kentucky Sports Network with us here on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. You've been around Kentucky basketball for a long time, Dave. Can you compare this Kentucky team to some of those that we've seen from John Calipari the last couple of years?
Yeah, well, I think you go back, you know, to some of those first teams. And obviously the standard was set, you know, when you come in the first year and you had been through the dark days of the Billy Gillespie era. And then he comes in and he gets Cousins and Wall and Eric Bledsoe, and you see what they're doing in the league now and how much they're making between them. And then you go through Anthony Davis when they won it in 2012. This has been a team that, you know, listen, Kentucky and Duke were going for all the same guys. You know, it was Kentucky and Duke for Zion, and same deal for R.J. Barrett. And Cal coached Barrett, actually, in the one of those 18 and under tournaments or something like that. But this is a team that doesn't have a huge standout. And I think the real key has been Reed Travis, the graduate transfer from Stanford. He's been an incredible presence in the middle. He's missed the last five games because of a strained knee, but he's supposed to be back and ready to go tonight. Kentucky fans are just hoping he can make kind of a sliver of the same kind of difference that Zion made in his return last night.
Dave, when we were talking all this week leading up to the tournament about Tennessee, and I'm going to believe that I've always been, especially tournament time, I like teams with older guys on it. Is there a way that these older upperclassmen players have been playing together for all these years can catapult this team to an SEC title?
Well, they could. You know, it's interesting. You know, in Lexington, we had a chance to see Tennessee and LSU in back-to-back games.
Right.
And, you know, I always thought that Tennessee was the big bully. And then you see LSU come in behind them, and LSU is much more physical than Tennessee. I mean, Grant Williams has obviously gotten all the accolades. Schofield has been tremendously consistent. But the guy that makes that team go is Bone. And as Bone goes, so go the ball. And so they don't have a big history of success here at the SEC tournament. That's working against them. But, you know, and that's something Kentucky and Tennessee both have to guard against tonight. Vols have Mississippi State in the last game tonight. And all anybody's talking about is the semifinal between Kentucky and Tennessee tomorrow. But they've got to get past State, and Kentucky's got to get past an Alabama team playing for its life.
Dave Baker, the SEC Network and Kentucky Sports Network with us here on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game as we talk a little bit about the SEC basketball tournament that's happening in Nashville right now. LSU with an early lead on Florida. LSU in front by 9. Dave, is there a clear-cut best team in the SEC as we sit here today on Friday of the SEC tournament?
I don't think there is. I mean, Tennessee and Kentucky have gone 1-1 against each other. You had LSU come to Lexington, and they won a game on a tip-in that, if you could review it, wouldn't have counted. Now they've got all the problems with their coach who's still not coaching with them. I got a text a little while ago. I haven't had a chance to see any of the games.
So we were talking all this week leading up to the tournament about Tennessee. And I'm going to believe that I've always been, especially tournament time, I like teams with older guys on it. Is there a way that these older upperclassmen players have been playing together for all these years can catapult this team to an SEC title?
Well, they could. You know, it's interesting. You know, in Lexington, we had a chance to see Tennessee and LSU in back-to-back games.
Right.
And, you know, I always thought that Tennessee was the big bully. And then you see LSU come in behind them, and LSU is much more physical than Tennessee. I mean, Grant Williams has obviously gotten all the accolades. Schofield has been tremendously consistent, but the guy that makes that team go is Bone. And as Bone goes, so go the ball. And so they don't have a big history of success here at the SEC tournament. That's working against them. But, you know, and that's something Kentucky and Tennessee both have to guard against tonight. Vols have Mississippi State in the last game tonight. And all anybody's talking about is the semifinal between Kentucky and Tennessee tomorrow. But they've got to get past State, and Kentucky's got to get past an Alabama team playing for its life.
Dave Baker, the SEC Network and Kentucky Sports Network with us here on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game as we talk a little bit about the SEC basketball tournament that's happening in Nashville right now. LSU with an early lead on Florida. LSU in front by 9. Dave, is there a clear-cut best team in the SEC as we sit here today on Friday of the SEC tournament?
I don't think there is. I mean, Tennessee and Kentucky have gone 1-1 against each other. You had LSU come to Lexington, and they won a game on a tip-in that, if you could review it, wouldn't have counted. Now they've got all the problems with their coach, who's still not coaching with them. I got a text a little while ago. I haven't had a chance to see any of the game, but I'm told that Devontae Smart, the guard in question that Will Wade was alleged to be talking about on the tape, that he was actually cleared today to play after he talked with LSU officials and the NCAA, but they're still without their head coach. So in light of all that, you know, I think it's really, really even.
If Smart is cleared to play, is that a good sign for Will Wade based upon what you know of the situation?
Absolutely not. But here's the deal. Glenn Rabelais is a guy who's covered LSU for years. I was reading one of his columns today in The Advocate. And Wade has got a clause in his contract that says he must cooperate with any university-sanctioned investigation that includes the NCAA or whomever. And so he's looking at, you know, putting $20 million at risk, you know. And so the reason he's not coaching is because he refused. And this is the great yin and yang. He's right that it's his constitutional right to go ahead and to not talk. However, you know, that's not the university's deal. The university is saying they've got to worry about the dreaded, you know, lack of institutional control. So they're doing what they got to do. Will Wade legally is doing what he's got to do. But is that going to enable him to keep his job at LSU? It's going to be fascinating to see what happens not only now, but once that federal trial goes, and Will Wade has been told he's going to get subpoenaed.
That is unbelievable, because we've been talking about this all day. Yeah, he wants to come back. Yes, you're right to come back. But to me, and Chris was saying it earlier, it seems like LSU is distancing themselves from him in this situation because they're trying to get that just cause.
Well, I would say they're not distancing themselves. I'd say they just got to do their due diligence.
Okay.
I mean, for instance, the Sousa kid from Kansas, the statements and the testimony in court showed that he did not know anything about what his guardian was doing. And I think that amount of money was somewhere like $2,000-$3,000. But despite that, they sat D'Souza out for the rest of this season and all of next season. So, I mean, that's kind of what people are looking at. And the thing that's got everybody scared about in these investigations is this is the first time that the NCAA will have any access to, like, any actual court documents, wiretaps. You know, they haven't had that power. So from that standpoint, this is the first time they're going to be able to use any of that, and it's got everybody in that sphere just scared to death.
Dave Baker, the SEC Network and Kentucky Sports Network, spending a few minutes with us. Dave, as we finish up here, give me your 4-1 seeds. If you had to project how you think the weekend finishes up and Selection Sunday – happening Sunday evening, who's your four number ones going into March Madness?
You know, we've all got our own biases and everything. I've never been on the Virginia train, even before last year. They're playing well enough where they'll probably get one, though. I think now the way that Duke played with Zion, they get one. I think you can make a strong case for the way North Carolina has played to give them one. And then I think that it might very well be the Kentucky-Tennessee winner that gets another one. And I think those would be four good ones. The important thing for people for the Kentucky-Tennessee matchup is not whether they get a one or not, but those folks want to go play in Louisville, where there would be the most fans for either of those fan bases, which is where the South Regional Final is at the Yum Center.
Does the winner of that game win the SEC, in your opinion?
I think so. I think as good as LSU has been with the distractions and everything, I think it would be very difficult for them. I did not see the LSU-Tennessee game, but the LSU-Kentucky game was a great, great basketball game. So, you know, Naz Reid looks like he may have had a concussion or something. He's going to be back too, though. And I think the whole key for Kentucky, not only in the SEC tournament, but going forward, is what happens with Reed Travis. How good is he on that knee when he comes back tonight?
Buzz, appreciate it, man. Great stuff as always. Good to catch up with you again, and hopefully we'll get a chance to do this again soon.
That sounds great, guys. Good talking to you.
All right, thanks. Take care.
Buzz Baker of the SEC Network and Kentucky Sports Radio. College basketball fans, we got your chance. Win $1,000. All you have to do is go to the contest page at 929thegame.com. Sign up for the 929 The Game's March Bracket Challenge. Choose your teams to advance starting this Sunday, and the participant with the most with the best overall bracket wins a $1,000 gift card. Sign up right now. Head over to the contest page at 929thegame.com. Chris and Randy back at Atlanta United. They got a little jewelry to show off. We'll get to that next. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Chris Goforth, Randy McMichael. This segment brought to you by the Shane Company. Blow her mind and not your budget with an engagement ring from Shane Company, your friend in the jewelry business. Congratulations to Bill from Lilburn. He picked himself up some tickets to go see Travis Scott.
All right, Bill. Bill, a fellow Liberian, or whatever they call it. They're Liberian. Liberian.
Somebody used to get on to me all the time.
Somebody live in Lilburn.
Tell me to hush all the time.
Hey, Bill, can I come with you, man? How many tickets did he win? Two? Let me roll with you, Bill. I'll meet you at the gas station. Meet you at that rate track.
you work your way in. That's not odd at all, is it?
I mean, I throw it out there sometimes. I mean, I threw out, I meet somebody. So they're about trying to get me to go to Athens for a game. And I was like, well, I'll meet you at the racetrack. And people were hitting me up talking about, I'm on the way. I'll stop by and pick you up on the way to Athens, man. You never know what you can do, just by putting it out there.
Speaking of odd relationships, real quick before we get to Atlanta United here for a little bit, the Raiders are set to play their home games in 2019 at the Oakland Alameda County Coliseum. That move has been approved. There is also a $10.5 million Raiders option for 2020 in the event that the team and their move to Vegas needs to be postponed.
It's not going to happen. I keep telling everybody this. This deal is going to fall through.
Is there a more weird, strange, awkward relationship? I mean, Craig, you're from the Bay Area. This is weird. All right, and I'm talking about the relationship between the fans, or are they still fans and the team?
Oh, they're still diehards. They still ride out with them. This has just been weird, but the city, when it comes to the Raiders, because they wanted to sue the Raiders for leaving, and Mark Davis said, I'm not going to pay you a lawsuit, plus pay you to rent out your stadium. You're just going to use that money to sue me. So this is the whole giving back and forth. And they try to go where the Niners play. They try to go where the Giants play. And the Niners own all the rights to San Francisco. So they're like, no, you're either going to come to our stadium and split the cost with us, or you're going to go back home. And so that's why they couldn't play with the Giants. That's why they couldn't play with the Niners. So they decided to go back. And the city of Oakland dropped their lawsuit so they could come back home.
They're never leaving, man. I'm just telling you.
They're not going anywhere, man.
Because if anything, if they really wanted to be in Vegas, why can't they play at UNLV or somewhere else?
That's what they looked at UNLV. They looked at Reno.
What's UNLV sit? I've been to UNLV for basketball, but I've never been to a football game
there. Not that many.
Is it 60,000?
I don't know. It can't be no worse than that whatever, that blank hole.
Nothing is worse than that.
Is the worst ever. It's already raggedy. Try playing there when they got that dirt and being that raggedy stadium. There couldn't nothing be worse than that.
And the smell of the sewage, it's just
there's a rule, and when you're taking a shower after the game, you got to let the water run for right before we go in after the game. Like the equipment staff and the
comes out brown when it starts.
Yes, they all go in there before we come out the locker room. I mean, before we go to the locker room after the game and turn all the showers on, so all it whatever can come out. It's just disgusting place.
Awful.
Nasty place.
That's awful.
Yeah.
SEC tournament going on, just getting underway. Game one of four today in the quarterfinals. LSU leading Florida by 10, 35-25. That has been about a 9-point game throughout most of the first half. LSU made it a 10-point game as they have gone in at the half. Atlanta United will be back in action on Sunday. They'll take on the Philadelphia Union over on Star 94. Pre-game starts at 6:30. They'll kick it off at 7 o'clock. You can hear Mike Conte, Jason Longshore on the call. Again, that is Sunday evening over on Star 94. Have you seen the rings, Randy, that Atlanta United is getting?
Yeah, man. That's pretty sweet, huh?
101 diamonds. Made from 10-carat white gold.
I mean, who's the owner? You know he ain't going cheap. You know, Uncle Arthur gonna put it down for that ring. Man, that's sweet though.
valued at $6,500. That's the estimated value based on the photo that we
released.
Now,
does Jason and Mike get a ring?
I just asked Conti. I said, do you get a ring?
Uh-huh.
And he said, I don't know. We don't know. I don't know if I'm going to get one or not. He said, I wouldn't wear it if I did.
He know he getting a ring. Conti need to stop being all, I don't know. He know that him and Jason getting rings. Right.
But isn't that so Conti, though? He's just so
chill. Yeah, so Conti, so chill.
Me and you got one. We be talking with that hand, like, pointing.
I don't have to just walk around it on my cheek. You see, good for them, man. That is an amazing feat for that squad. And now it's back to MLS. Oh, no more CONCACAF. What would the emotions be, Chris, if they laid another egg Sunday after how hard and how good they played against Monterrey?
It would be ugly.
Yeah.
I think the tide, I think DeBoer maybe kind of helped himself out a little bit with that win, and I think kind of backed some of the heat off. But look, this is what happens when you set the expectations that Atlanta United had set in their first 2 years of existence. This is what you create. This is what you build. This isn't about fans or supporters being spoiled. This is the expectations that franchise has created. And I heard Dukes and Bell, I guess it was Darren Eels that was on with Dukes and Bell earlier this week, I think. Tuesday? And I thought he had, and I believe it was Mike or Carl One told him, and I thought he had a great response to it, but they said, look, you know, you're catching the same kind of heat now that the Braves and the Falcons catch. This is, if you're the Atlanta United, this is what you want. You want people to care this much about your product. That's a win.
Yeah, without a doubt. And I said that too, Chris. All right, y'all, it was all fun and good, and we love you, but that don't mean we can't get on you now.
Yeah, worst thing can happen to any sports team, I don't care if it's a professional team, if it's a college team, I've seen it happen before at the college level, and that's apathy. The one thing you don't ever want to see happen, because apathy is – that's the killer.
Yeah, I 100% agree on that. But with that being said, I expect them to go put foots in Philly. Yeah, I mean, they were not their best player who was suspended because of the red cards. I expect them to put foots in them, and then we'll see what the real United, because they're going to get some time off. They're going to be able to integrate Pitti more and more as it goes along. And I just expect them to get on this roll right now, man.
What's your expectation?
Championship.
Yeah, that's where I am.
What you mean, expectations?
Well, I think that's where we all are.
That's where it all is. That's where, isn't that where, I mean, yeah, you lost a vital, and I mean vital part of last year's team in Miguel Lamarón. But Petey, I mean, he looked like he got the goods. I mean, you saw some of those kicks that he made when he was trying to shoot on goal from way outside the box. And I'm like, oh, no, it just missed. He almost made it. I expect when they get him more integrated, and I think that when you look at Frank DeBoer, I think he can take from what happened in their last game and how he was able to adjust and do different things on the fly and not be as stubborn and this is the way we're going to do it. And then you're going to get my man George Bello back. So I think you're going to see
you got to take the talent.
I think something's going to happen, man.
And use what – you got to find the best system for the talent, not necessarily fit the talent around your system.
That is correct.
Yeah. That's correct. All right. It's going to do it for us. We'll come back. We'll wrap it up. Dukes and Bell on the way next. Sports Radio, 92.9 The Game.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.